dearly beloved. We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Doctor, everything will be alright.
Instead of asking them how much of your time is left, ask them how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down,
welcome to episode 102 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 24th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about playoffs, Fins, and next season. In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
Hey.
And Jive.
Good evening.
So, obviously, we let off the show with Prince.
Somber.
I don't think anyone who grew up in Minnesota and especially our generation doesn't feel the impact of the loss of Prince.
I cried a lot. Like, I mean, my eyes watered up a ton.
It was like
in the past 3 days.
It was like someone was constantly following you with an onion and cutting it just to spite you.
I don't even know if onions did what I felt this week.
I mean, yeah. A guy who obviously, you know, touched the lives of many around. I mean, and his contributions, you know, to, you know, music and even things outside of music were huge.
Well, I mean, and you talk to any, I mean, we've all worked or played in the Minnesota music scene. We all know that Prince is synonymous with Minnesota music.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
You say Minnesota music, what comes next? Prince. Period.
Kenny, I think I remember talking with you last night and giving out the bacon number, saying
yeah,
that
absolutely.
You know, anybody who's played music in Minnesota
in the music industry.
Yeah, at maximum has a bacon number of about two something to do with him.
Okay, so I'll give you.
You're totally right, Jive.
I'll give you each a chance to call out your bacon number. But I mean, as far as your Prince number is, what I think is what we should
Prince
say.
Well, number.
That's what this would be.
Yeah,
the Prince
and
number.
My Prince number is I worked on Ozfest as a touring webmaster and the bass guitar tech for Rob Zombie was also. He went on and moved on to become a bass tech for Prince's band at Paisley Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure I've got two there, right?
Yep. And likewise with you, I think that our bacon number would also be two for our former band of Spew, whereas we played several shows with a band of the likes of Bee.
Yeah.
Who I know they've got a show coming up here actually pretty soon up at the park, up in Fridley, beginning of May here. So that will definitely be a good time. But I know, you know, we've played with them and I know that they did do some work with Prince as well there. So,
well, I'm going to say it's kind of a rite of passage for anybody working in the live sound industry to get their teeth cut by working at Paisley Park and getting fired by Prince. I never did that. However, I mean, I have worked and ran sound for multiple musicians that have directly been involved with Prince, including the Steel family, many of which, or some of which, have played with Prince. You know, with new power generation and what have you. And I've been very, very happy to say that I've actually worked with them and have mixed their music directly in a live situation. So, I mean, I think at very minimal, we're all sitting at two.
Yeah. And
that's pretty common being from the Twin Cities area.
I don't know.
The music scene.
It may not be that common, but everyone feels, at the very least, they feel like Prince was one of them.
Prince has touched everybody in the music scene.
Unlike Bob Dylan, who just left us and said, Minnesota, you're okay. Prince is like, I'm going to stay there. Because
my bacon factor with Dylan might be about six or seven.
But it could be a generational thing, though, with Dylan. But
possibly.
But Prince, seriously, if you say Minnesota music, people are going to say Prince, like, at least 10 to 1 over Dylan. Because no one thinks Dylan when they think Minnesota
music. Nobody's talking about Soul Asylum?
There is
A Marcy's Playground or Supersonic or...
Was that the closing time band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Husker Du.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's a few bands. Obviously, there's been plenty of bands that have come through here.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, you know.
There is a genre of music called the Minneapolis music scene that basically stems from what Prince had done in the early 80s.
Prince made Minnesota, appealing to people outside of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I think... forever, we're indebted, and I know all of us, I know, Kenny, you joked about it, but seriously, I think all of us have shed tears this week with the passing.
I wasn't joking. I mean, I seriously had shed tears.
No.
Over the loss. I don't think I've ever been this emotional over a celebrity dying,
It's honestly just one that hits home. I mean,
the fact that
he's one of us is really what it is,
and it amplifies the effect that when you see the Eiffel Tower being lit up purple because of Prince passing, but it's like it doesn't feel like it's just Prince. It feels like it's a Minnesotan. It feels like it's somebody like your brother, somebody that you're that close to.
Part of Minnesota died.
Absolutely, really. You know what, Aaron? I think that's the best thing I've heard since this has happened, is part of Minnesota died.
Yep.
Flyover country or not, part of us died, and the whole world has recognized it.
So with that, I think we'll just take a second here, and we'll just pause, and then we'll talk hockey here.
All right, let's get into the Wild recap here for the week. We had Dallas. So we played them four times over this last week here.
Yes, it
is much.
Yes. We did manage to get a couple wins in there, correct?
And almost another one.
Yep. And almost another one today. This came down to a matter of inches. Really what it comes down to is, the Wild were playing a great team. And who were the Wild this year? Sometimes that was kind of hard to determine.
Obviously, we're missing players.
Right.
Goal scorers in particular, right?
Right. We were missing a couple on our bench, honestly. And what those injuries were, I mean, I know we kept getting reports throughout the week that players were skating and at optional practices, but it never seemed to quite pan out.
How do you get optional practices during the playoffs where it's a day on, day off?
Because you're hurt. That's what optional practice.
Isn't everybody hurt during the playoffs?
Probably. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So, the Wild, though, they did. I mean, they put up a fight in the series. They didn't always show up, as we saw in the very first game of the series.
Yeah,
going way back. But, in their wins, you know, they definitely look good. And, I mean, they did have their times where, you know, they just, I don't know. They kind of look like a junior varsity team, basically. And one of the points that Torchetti made after, I think it was the second game, or the second game of the week, that would have been their, if I can do the math, what are they?
Wild game, second home game.
Game four, yeah.
Yeah,
after the game home four. Game there, where they did eventually lose to the Stars. Torchetti was, you know, he's pretty vocal about a certain player not getting into the shooting lane. And you know, who do you guys think that player was? Well, Ryan Suter, right? You know, so. But Mike Russo did report on that a day later and said that, you know, Torchetti was kind of backing off of those comments. So, you know, Torchetti, you know, backing off of comments like that, you know, is this a case of the coach, you know, being able to go back and analyze and look at the tapes and things like that and saying, okay, well, maybe I, you know, maybe I was wrong. You know, maybe I kind of jumped the gun and looked at that too quick. Or is this, you know, the big hand coming down on Torchetti saying, hey, that's one of our major marketers. That's our, you know, you that's know our
quick,
boy.
Quick Trip is going to come with hammer yeah, down quick, on us.
We can't have you talking about him like that.
I'm going to look at it like this. If it is upper management coming down, I call that BS. And it's because, well, not BS on their end. They're looking at where is our money going to be coming from if we don't, you know, make it to the cup. And Suter's our golden boy. So don't, you know, you're basically our temporary coach, so you got to do what we say. Or you're not going to have a job next year, even though he's not guaranteed a job next year. I think it's all upper management going, nope, let's keep our golden child golden at
so
this
you're,
point.
You're going micromanaging at that point.
I honestly think so. I mean, and honestly, if you came into this position late in the season, you're under fire because the team's underperforming, and you basically have to get the team into the playoffs, are you not going to be under the microscope the entire time and having upper management breathing down your neck telling you what to do?
But what if this magnifying glass existed before Torch, and this is what drove Yo out, is like Suter's in the locker room going, I'm not feeling Yo anymore. Hey, Leopold, what can you do for me? Do me a solid?
Oh, wow, that's turning the tables right there.
That does. But, you know, really,
I got the 10-year contract. What does Yo have?
The conspiracy right. conspiracy theories aside there, I honestly think that, you know, Torchetti, I mean, to me, he seems like a pretty stand-up dude who's going to tell it to you how it is. He's going to tell you his feelings. He's gonna let you know what his thoughts are. And I think that was just him being honest on the mic, and basically, you know, he probably went.
But why the turn of face though? Well, that's the weird part, isn't it?
He probably went back and he probably looked at some videos and some replays of things, and you know, said, okay, well, I can see maybe why Suter might have committed himself, you know, elsewhere.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, so I mean, there's. It's easy to sit back as a fan and watch and you know,
judge
and yell at the players. Well, why aren't you here right now where you could be to score a goal? When you know, it's easier said than done sometimes. Not necessarily just being in position, but also, you know, taking into account, you know, is somebody starting to streak up the boards on the side.
Sure.
Getting ready to break, try to, you know, get a breakout pass or something like that. You There's more that goes into it. There's a whole ice of stuff going on than just a single shooting lane.
Online, everyone can see every lane ever, and if they were in that spot, they'd be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, when you're on the ice, things get cloudy.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And it moves quick.
It moves very quick, yeah. You know?
All right. So we can't down on Suter too much.
We can't? Why can't we?
No, I mean, we can. That's what we're here for.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I wish there was, like, a ton of people recording my life as I was going through my job experiences going,
oh, my God, why did he hang that speaker that way? What is he thinking?
What did
mic placement is terrible.
Why didn't he cut that frequency?
I can hear John Madden right now giving commentary on Kenny.
I would eat a turkey if I could plug in a mic like that.
I mean, at this point, I would be an all-star. Like, holy crap. If I had people, like, recording and analyzing my life that way, and you got to give it to Suter. I mean, but I'm also not getting paid the same amount as Suter is for screwing shit up. I'm just saying.
Just saying. So, and that came after, you know, the Wild loss, a close one here at home in the fourth game to head back to Dallas, you know, where they had a chance to, you know, even up the series, basically. Yeah. But they ended up dropping a close one one there. But they did go back down to Dallas, and you know, things didn't, I guess, necessarily look all peachy and hockey-dory down there. But
hockey-dory?
Yeah. The Wild did find a way to squeak one out in overtime, nonetheless.
Koivu stepped up.
It wasn't 3-on-3, though.
It wasn't 3-on-3. We must say that. Yeah. Koivu stepped up, as you said. The game, he was responsible for the game-winning goal. Tipped in one that came from Suter, who you were looking to bash there. With the shot down towards the net, and was able to tip that in. But even earlier in the game,
the tying goal, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, earlier in the game, the tying goal came from a dish from Granlund.
Yeah.
And you know, this was Granlund playing on the wing. I mean, he made a wizard like pass to Koivu and it gets put home. But you know, so with Granny, you know, playing on the wing there off of Koivu there, I mean, is this where he was really supposed to be or where he really should be? Is it on the wing position?
You know what? I like Granny playing on the wing next to Koivu. I like Coil playing on the wing next to whoever he happens to be playing against. That gives us, if Koivu, which we've seen him get kicked out of the faceoff dot a lot this year.
Yeah.
If he gets kicked out, that gives us a second solid center or a wing that can take a faceoff.
Well, and Granlund did say that, you know, when he's not playing center, he doesn't have to worry as much defensively. And maybe that's something that just opens him up, you know, and allows him to get in places a little more creative.
Which is, it's a very good point. I mean, as a center, you know, offensively is one thing, but when you're playing the center position back in your own zone, you're kind of that third man down
you're
low.
You're the third D.
That's responsible for, yeah,
absolutely,
for that down there. And it does. It brings a lot of defensive responsibility along.
I mean, he's been solid.
Yeah.
But he respects that defensive liability,
mm-hmm,
maybe to his detriment, actually. Yeah. And, you know, where he's the way the Wild play is, the centers don't contribute much offensively, actually. And
that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, but it's a reality, you know, of the system that we've been running for the last, well, forever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, post Lemaire days.
Well, oh, so you're saying the centers were offensive juggernauts during the Lemaire days?
Oh, no. Sorry, I thought you were going more like defensive minded.
No, they've always been defensive minded, yeah. And that's the way it's always been. That's been our MO since the beginning of the franchise, and I understand. I think that's. You know, maybe moving to a wing allows him to be creative and allows him to, you know, you can't argue with the results that we've had from him.
Granlund actually, I think, stepped up as a wing. Sorry, Aaron, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's true, though. He's definitely expanded what he's capable of. At least that's the way it appears.
Yeah.
And I have to agree. I think that Granlund playing on the wing there was able to, you know, play a little bit different style of a game, and I think that his contributions to the team were, you know, even better there. And that said, I mean, I like Koivu in the faceoff dot. I mean, he does you solid when he's in the faceoff. I mean, you can expect that, you know, 50% or better of the time he's gonna win you that faceoff. And I think that even moving Granlund out to a wing or Kenny, as you said, you know, moving Coyle out, I think that it actually opens things up for them. They're younger, they're faster. They're the ones who are going to be able to, you know, get those breakouts out of the zone, yep. and get moving. Through the neutral zone.
They're going to be able to get deep, and then they're also going to be able to retreat pretty quickly, actually.
Well, here's my thought. I mean, right now, if the Wild play with Koivu at center, you got Halla at center, you got Stola at center, and you got... who else we got sitting right there right now? Because Coyle's at a wing.
Coyle would be at center, actually.
Was he? Was he playing center tonight? I thought he was playing wing with Granny. Or, I'm sorry, with Halla. Anyways, whatever it means, having essentially, say, your primary center, say, Koivu, with Granlund at a wing, and you go to your second wing, and you have whoever is there with Coyle at a wing, or Coyle with another second centerman at a wing, I think it's great because you got guys that can play a lot of two-way hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You get kicked out of the circle. You got a second alternative right there that can win face-offs. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Halla move up, actually, and have, for our top two lines, have, say, Koivu, Granlund, and then Halla, Coyle. Would be phenomenal. Would be an amazing pairing of, you know, a center and either left or right wing. And then if Parisi gets healthy, you put him on one wing, and then say maybe Pommeville or Nino on the other wing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the lines, the juggling, it kind of went on all season, really. Anyways, but today, you know,
heartbreaker.
It was a heartbreaker of a game.
Oh, man,
the first 40 plus minutes. I don't
terrible.
Know. Yeah, terrible. I don't know what team that was.
Sleeping.
Out there. But
tired.
Bored.
I think the Wild were still resting, right. And they had other players dressed in their sweaters. They were still recovering from the hangover of last night.
It was the Minnesota Mild who were out at that point.
They were out at Prince's all-night party at First Ave, and put in the other guys.
And maybe part of the downfall is very early in the game. Demers, it was kind of, I wouldn't call it a really questionable call, but.
It was a bad call.
Well.
It wasn't even questionable. It was a bad call.
There was elbows thrown, though.
There was an elbow up, but it didn't even hit him.
Okay. And so, and that's the thing.
Aaron,
so,
I agree with you on that.
Depending on how you're looking at it there, all right. Was that a dive in the first period there by Demers, you know, or was Coyle, you know,
so
actually, you know, committing an infraction there, and that in turn, I mean, basically that put the Wild down by one player, so they were a 5-on-4. And then while they're trying to kill off the penalty, you got Scandella
with the highest stick
goes high, and next thing you know, you're down two players.
Jive, here's what I'm going to say about that. I think there should have been an embellishment call on that. Coyle never, he went up. His elbow did go up a little high, but I don't think it was enough to
warrant. Think it actually hit his head.
I don't think it warranted him going down. However, Coyle, after the fact,
His reaction
did kind of, after Demers was on the ice, he did kind of give him a cross check below.
He went right back for him.
Well, because it was, baloney. You know, it's like,
it was
a stage actor who, and it was like, oh my God, I've been shot by Lee Harvey Oswald.
I was thinking John Wilkes Booth. But yeah, good thing we both go to people that killed presidents.
But it was like, boom.
I didn't do it.
You watch the replay and the delay on the, oh, I should act hurt is stunning. The delay. It basically telegraphs everything that is going on with that play, so, and that he's lying is really what it comes down to.
Here's what I want to say is, that penalty should have been bad. And Aaron and I had talked about that during the game, saying that that's like epitome of embellishment right there.
Yeah.
Was it embellishment or was this incitement? Was he trying to, rouse him up or
because only the Dans call incitement.
Oh,
okay. And we didn't have a Dan on the ice tonight.
That's true.
So that would have been embellishment right there is what should have happened. Now the fact that Coyle had cross checked him when he was laying on the ice, yes, that's penalty worthy.
If you want to call an even up or whatever, I get it. I would have been okay with that.
Fair enough. But what happened was the Wild now go on the power play, or on the penalty kill, power play, penalty kill.
Yep.
And then because of that, they are now forced on a 5-on-4, and when Spurgeon or Scandella.
Scandy, yep.
Ended up getting a high stick while they're fluttering for the puck. And, that crap happens when you're on the PK. But that PK may not have ever happened had it not been for that bullshit call to begin with. Sorry, I don't mean to say that.
And, you can look back at that stuff and you can say, it was a bad call or, should have been called a different way. But at the end of the day, the refs are humans. They're going to make calls. Myself seeing that in full speed, full motion, he was a good actor. If it truly was an acting maneuver, he was a good actor. He sold it. And you don't sell it by, saying, you got to sell it. That's acting. You gotta go out there and express it and make it big. But that said,
well, I think if you need to telegraph that a penalty has happened, I get that. But you got to do it like some of the Wild. I feel like the Wild players do it right. They might, show it and then, but they'll keep playing,
and not just completely die.
Yeah, I know.
Well, but regardless, you can't put the victory based on that play.
It happened.
It did happen, and I agree. There was a definite, because I think that the Wild came out of the gates okay. They looked like they were going to be competing, but then, that kind of happened, and when they go down, to a 5-on-3, most teams are going to give up a goal at that point. And I think I heard the stat while that was on that, Dallas had, 4 minutes of 5-on-3 plays?
No, it was a minute and a half of 5-on-3 with another.
No. Throughout the regular season, Dallas had 4 minutes of 5-on-3 play. In those 4 minutes,
and they four chances. They had
four goals.
Yeah, they had four chances and four goals. Yeah, and that's right.
You know what? You can say what you want. You can take the penalty back, take the goal back, but you can't change the momentum of what happened. And that's the big thing. And I think that goes into a lot of replay stuff, too, is you can call back a goal. You can give a goal depending on the referee situation, but you cannot take away the momentum of where that game is going right now.
And it doesn't change the crowd. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, that's a problem. I mean,
this is a whole nother discussion of replays of whether they should happen or not. And I don't know if we need to...
Let's not dig into that today.
We have it. I mean,
we're getting ready to go on a vacation. Well, honestly, come on.
Oh, so is Suter during period two.
I don't want to belabor the fact, but there this playoffs there has been a lot of discussion about whether reviews are overstepped, and I don't know that they really have, though. At least in our series, I don't feel that.
I think our series is pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
But I do see, if you're going to start to nitpick and let penalties be, up for review and things like that, I can see, maybe after the fact, if the league wants to go ahead and review that hit, and if they do determine at a later time that that's, maybe it should have been called now I might have lost for words when you're acting.
embellishment. Embellishment. Dive.
There we go. If they do want to call it that, maybe throw a fine on a player at that point.
Honestly, I would love that.
Because a ref isn't, he's got one. He's got one
fine?
He's got one view on the ice. And yes, if we really wanted to, we could go back and we could look at it from 100 different angles. The angles that you see it when you're watching on TV, you can do that.
Right.
That's going to totally slow the game down.
Oh, no doubt.
And totally take away from, any sort of flow to the game.
But I'd be completely happy, though, if the league went back and looked at Damaris and goes, yeah, that was a dive. And,
obviously, we can't change the score.
We can't change the score, and I'm not okay.
But we can't change your paycheck.
I think it starts with paycheck, but I think you need to go to suspensions. The league needs to be serious about that
that makes total sense.
This makes a mockery of the sport, really.
And you know what's going to happen then? Then they're going to have to allow appeals on that stuff because
that's fine. That keeps them away from the game longer. Because we don't want divers
playing. Does it keep them away from the game, or do they get to play until...
No.
The appeal goes through?
Actually, Aaron, I totally agree with what you're saying. Because at this point, they can also start reffing the referees at a point, going, you miss this, you miss that, you miss this.
So they can micromanage
them. Which I think they already kind of do.
Well, but there's...
Although, yeah, Jive, you are right. That does kind of get into micromanaging.
But not to be an apologist for the referees, but there's a lot going on. It's hard to see everything.
But it's also a sport, and it's supposed to be about sportsmanship.
Right.
So...
I mean, that's a great point.
I think that's probably the best point.
It's like, if diving is not a good sportsmanship move...
No.
They should be penalized in some form or another.
Yeah, whether it be financially or a...
Wait, what was it? Is it unsportsmanlike conduct, like a match penalty? Not a match, but a 10-minute misconduct?
Yeah, but you can't apply that posthumously,
No, you can't.
Oh, you can't apply it everywhere?
No.
Oh, dang.
Otherwise, we'd ban Kenny from the show all the time.
See?
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. It'd be a two in the box.
Oh, boy.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So, so we had that happen in the game.
Yeah.
What else, Jive?
So, honestly, it was a very exciting game. Ups and ups and downs of the third period.
A lot of down, a lot of up.
Yeah. Well, the beginning of the game was a lot of down. But the third period had its ups and downs, but I mean, it was, I mean.
They bring you up, then they smack you right down.
That was seriously a great time, and I think that, you know, the hockey community in Minnesota was probably buzzing pretty hard around that time.
One of us had said at the beginning of the third, even if the Wilds can get four goals, we cannot stop Dallas from getting a goal this period. And it happened.
It was true, yeah.
So, anyways, after the game, Dallas's coach, Coach Ruff, did make mention, you know, during that third period there, he did try to take a timeout to, you know, calm things down because the Wild were storming and swarming and
yeah, they were.
They were coming hard. And, but he said that was one of the most worthless timeouts that he had ever taken, basically. And he was referring to the amount of crowd noise that was going on within, you know, the team of 19,000 at the X there. You know, basically they didn't allow him to effectively communicate with this team.
Didn't the Vikings have that problem? Like, or the teams playing the Vikings had the same issue with audibles, like because the crowd
in the Metrodome.
It would get so loud in the dome that they could not communicate audibles.
Even in baseball, it was affecting them in baseball. But so apparently we're pretty loud here in Minnesota. but you know, so they did. They finished strong though. The Wild did in with the Wild third period there. Yeah. But does that make up for the lackluster first and second period?
No, it didn't.
Was that display like enough to, as a fan, to keep you, excited for the future and, you know, moving forward with a positive attitude?
The only thing it did for me was it allowed me to hear Prince being played for a goal song
other than Joe Satriani's Butt Rock. But aside from that, I gotta say, the first two periods were terrible.
They were absolutely garbage.
They were really bad.
It was JV.
The third period, obviously, I mean, maybe not obviously, but we all felt that watching it, we're like, wow, we might be on the edge of something magical here.
Right.
And
you felt the magic.
You totally do. Yeah. You know?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Sorry, I didn't mean to put that on top of you, but that seemed right at that point.
But, you know, I got to say, it's going to be tough because the team played so poorly and in many moments of the season.
Oh, man.
It's tough to forget that.
How you know? I was Aaron, you saw me. I was sitting right next to you. We were bumming. I was bumming. I'm going, this is absolutely ridiculous. A team that's in the playoffs right now. I'm guessing that Wah was going, are you kidding me? Our Avalanche could do a lot better than these guys right now, and I bet they could have during the first two periods.
His balls are on a golf course right now, so not on table.
But the first two periods were absolutely, you know, ridiculous. Third period comes, and we get two goals 16 seconds apart, which is a Wild record for the playoffs for closest goals scored. I mean, you got the whole stadium buzzing at that point. And I think, Jive, I think that's when you were talking about Ruff taking the timeout, and he couldn't. It was a worthless timeout. Because, I mean, the whole arena was just insanely loud at that point. And, I mean, good for them. I mean, you know, the Wild deserved it. But it didn't make a difference.
And then
come the end.
No, it didn't.
It didn't. So, but does that keep you excited for the future? Or, you know, do you still have a positive attitude here, you know, going forward with the Wild?
It doesn't change my opinion. I still think we've got too many contracts and too long, too much money.
I can agree with that we've got a lot of contracts. What I do see, though, is that when things are working, we do have a team that is capable of producing and winning and actually being a force to be reckoned with. And I mean, you know, probably had the Wild played all three periods similar to how they played in the
how
third
many games
that
this
would
year?
Be that would have been just, you know, I mean, there would have been no question. We would have won at the end. But that isn't how it played out. And that's kind of how this Wild season was. Yes. Ups and downs and streaks and this. But it does keep me, though, with a positive attitude that, I don't think that all pieces will be the same next year. But I think that we do have some pieces that, you know, when they're kept around, if we can get things gelling and working together, we can have, you know, I'm looking for a positive future, you know.
How many times this year have we seen the Wild play two-thirds of a game or one-third of a game?
Too many times. Too many times.
And this is exactly what happened tonight, is we saw them play for one-third of a game. They played for 20 minutes out of a 60-minute game. And
at least we're getting the last third, whereas during the Lemaire days, it was like the first third and then coast until they give up the game.
That tells me, though, that we're almost there.
This is true, though. I mean, Aaron, you're right. Yeah, at least we played the last third. But if we played that way the first two-thirds, we wouldn't have to play that way in the last third. Mm-hmm. At that point, we could be kind of sitting on our heels and, you know, doing the dump and chase type thing that we're not good at.
We dump and chase on the power play, so why not doing during the rest
of
the game?
But it's a lot easier to do when you're up by four goals.
That's true. That said, though, we were able to put in a lot of goals in the third period.
Yeah, because, you know, and Russo had said this, that the Wild tend to play better when their backs are against the wall.
And we put in all those goals, and we heard some awesome music, though, didn't we?
We did. And because of that music, we heard a new goal song tonight. And honestly, gentlemen, I hope to whatever deity you pray to that we get to keep this. But the Wild goal song, the Wild changed their goal song tonight to Let's Go Crazy by Prince. And I'm guessing it's in memoriam. Memoriam?
Memorial. Memory.
Memory.
In memory of.
In memory of.
Memoriam. I think yeah. both are
more of the, it wasn't a moratorium.
Of the purple one of Prince. Change, you know, the Wild changed their goal song to Let's Go Crazy. And I really hope, I signed the petition, I hope you guys did too.
Oh, yeah.
Of Let's change our goal song to Let's Go Crazy. Do you agree? Do we keep this, or was this just a fad because Prince died on Thursday?
I do feel that, you know, partially some of the things going on right now has gotten to be kind of a fad, unfortunately, because I do feel that it's a life that's well worth celebrating, and I definitely, you know, hope to keep that as a piece of Minnesota history, really.
Right.
He is Minnesota that. History so, not at this point.
Yeah. So my vote, honestly, is to keep that. I mean, I remember listening to or watching the games from Dallas down there, and they got their boys from Pantera, which, I mean,
yeah,
I love Pantera too. So that said, I mean, their goal song down there is pretty dang awesome with Pantera playing there. But, you know, it's a Minnesota piece that would be, I think, you know, the song, I mean, when you heard it there, it fit right in.
I know we've talked about the goal song previously.
Ad nauseum.
And I know it's a thorn in my side because I hate the Joe Satriani song. I don't care. But there's other teams that use it. I think the Islanders are another team that use it right now. And it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And you basically have the faux crowd chanting with you. Because you don't even know what if the crowd is even cheering. You don't even know. And honestly, let's go wild. Let's go crazy. Let's go crazy. It has always been in my short list of songs that the Wild should have considered or should consider for their gold song. Seriously, for years now.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm extremely happy that they changed their gold song. I'm extremely happy that they did the Let's Go Crazy intro at the beginning of the game right before the moment of silence tonight.
1999.
No, that was Let's Go Crazy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. But they came on the ice to 1999.
Oh, that was a pregame warm-up.
Yeah, right.
That Russo had talked about. But I think Let's Go Crazy is... You know, why not? Make that the Wild's goal song. I mean, if you're going to be giving royalties to anybody, give it to Prince's Estate, who's a tried and true Minnesotan. Why give it to, you know, Joe Satriani, who is Joe Blow from wherever? You know, Let's Go Crazy is a Minnesota song. Do it. Let's change it.
Yeah. Yes. Because I'm a force to be reckoned with.
And any of you out there listening, if you have not hit the change.org, do it now.
It's over 500 votes now.
So we're over that we hit the peak.
Peak is relative, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of forces, though, we had a few different forces, Finnish forces, going this week. We've talked about Koivu. Koivu was stellar in this series.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Another person that actually kind of shined, whatever you want to say, was Granny. Granny actually, I think, had a really good series. He had a couple whiffs, but he was Prezi like.
I think once Granny got hit in the mouth, it changed him.
It did. Well, that and he got moved to the wing, but
angry,
you know.
Finn.
And then the other one would be Halla. Halla had a great series. He had 5 points in 6 games. You know, and Halla made a huge impact on the postseason. Had Yo not put him in the doghouse, would the Wild have had a better playoff position?
Yes. I want to say yes because I want to think.
Would that have done any good for us? I guess is maybe even a better question.
Well, if,
considering
if,
our injuries, you know,
if we weren't playing them, we'd have been playing Anaheim, Anaheim.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it comes down to it, though, I don't think that Halla being in the doghouse with Yo. I mean, we might have seen a few more points on the board from him. I'm not saying that, you know, his play, especially this postseason, hasn't been spectacular. But I don't see his play as necessarily, like, to the level of, like, it completely shapes and molds a team. I think there's a lot of other people who would have also needed to provide some support along with that. I mean, it's a definite team sport for the Wild, and it's there's not that one player who is gonna who you can always count on to put goals in. You got to get production from all around.
Right. I can't disagree. He's added to our ability to score. There's no doubt about that. He's fast, but that's also something that comes along with younger players. I mean, it's true in any sport.
Yep.
You know, the younger you are, the faster you are. It's just a reality.
But the other positive thing I want to bring up about Halla, though, too, is that last season, I mean, he had a nice postseason last year as well, right?
Yeah, he did.
And then he got firmly planted in the doghouse.
Right. But that said, that's what's really promising to me about a player like Halla. And, you know, even if he does have a
you know, a regular season of ups and downs, if he can contribute enough to the team where you get all the pieces in place and you're able to get to the postseason, to have a guy who's solid in the postseason like that, I mean, that's
that means
you know,
a lot.
Yeah, well, it's an ace up your sleeve.
My thoughts are is I think that the Wild would have been a lot better off having Halla, not necessarily in the third line. I think he'd have done well with Parisi, to be quite honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
You get some speed from Halla, you get some grit from Parisi, and honestly, even putting Pommaville up there, because, I mean, him and Pommaville seem to click pretty well.
Yeah.
I think swapping him with Granny for the top center may not have been a bad option. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but I think having those, I mean, Halla was winning faceoffs. He had the speed. He was a top line PK player. And I think putting him on the power play as well, I think it would have drastically changed how the Wild sat as far as seeding goes in the season.
And so obviously Hall has been pretty great, and he's been pretty vocal you know, in post-game interviews.
That was, well, even, sorry, Aaron, but even like prior to him coming back, how he wanted to change, you know, the we got to win one in Dallas, and bringing right. that attitude into the locker room.
And you don't hear a lot of that from guys that aren't Parisi, Suter, Koivu. Dubnyk, I feel like we eat a little bit from Dubnyk like that as well.
Dubnyk is pretty vocal.
But Halla speaks like a captain.
Yeah.
Do we think that he's eventually going to replace a Suter or Parisi and make the A or C, you know, echelon?
Or is it a Finnish conspiracy or
haven't we had this
a Finnish like monarchy, and you know, we'll basically have, you know, King Koivu and Halla and
Prince
there.
Halla.
And Prince Halla. And then once Koivu decides that he's retiring,
Koivu will take over. Halla.
Yeah, Halla will become King Halla. King Halla.
King Halla.
You know what? I like that.
You like that.
I do.
Are you Finnish?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't got my DNA test done yet. But
you drank enough Kijafa to at least be honorary Finn, right?
I could see Halla overtaking where Granlund's at, though, and taking over his spot as, you know, second line center. I do kind of like Halla on the checking line. Just because, I mean, if the checking line is going to be taken on the top line of another team, I think having Halla lead that is actually pretty awesome, because you're going to have a lot of scoring chances at that point. Even though, you know, not much of a, you know, you got guys on there that aren't that big of guys. They're not really heavy hitters on the checking line. But once they get that puck free, they're definitely like, on and they're going. So
do you think it deserves the A?
I do. I absolutely do.
What do you think, Jive?
Myself personally, an A, I could go with that.
It's tough to separate Koivu from the captaincy, is it not?
I can agree with that.
It is, especially some stuff that was said tonight.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, I guess I still have other people who I think maybe they're not as great of leaders as what you'd hope they'd be, but they need to earn their A, basically. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we would have been without an A without Parisi.
But Pommaville usually gets the A.
But I would have put that on Halla over Pommaville.
I don't know. Pommaville had a very strong series. Really.
He got set up by Halla.
At least end of the series.
He got set up by Halla. Which
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, Pommaville actually looked a lot better in the playoffs, similar to how when we first picked him up, you know, is he worth keeping around?
Pominville?
Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely garbage during the regular season.
When is he going to show up is really what the question is, right?
Playoffs, apparently.
Yeah.
Too little, so, too late.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, it's basically been a roller coaster ride of a season this year. It's had its plot twists and cliffhangers. You know, we've seen the changing of the helm. Along with multiple different, you know, combinations of lines and D pairings. And, you know, now all we have to do is, you know, look forward to the future. And, you know.
We hear that yearly.
Yeah, who knows what that will be. You know, who stays, who goes. You know, this season, I mean, letting Mike Yeo go didn't seem to make, you know, a drastic change in, like, the productivity and success of the Wild. You know, they were still a streaky team that had, you know, major highs and major lows. You know, since Yeo has moved away, it didn't seem to change things. Do you guys think that, you know, Chuck Fletcher, do you think he'll retain his job? Is it safe? Or, you know, if not, you know, do you guys have somebody in mind that you would, you know, think would make a good fit?
Honestly, I would like to see Adam Oates in this organization. I don't know if it's as a head coach.
Oh, boy.
Or as a GM. Lou Nanny actually would be awesome, too. But I think Adam Oates kind of has the right idea. He knows where to put players and get players to function with each other. So maybe that would be a better head coach position. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think?
Well, you know, Leopold said that Fletcher's job is safe.
They said that about Yeo, too.
He said that about Yeo. So I don't necessarily have faith that Fletcher's job is safe. But I'm gonna be pessimistic. I don't think the Wild are gonna do anything. Actually, I think I just don't know why, but I don't think Fletcher has crapped the bed enough to force Leopold's hand.
I seriously think if we can get Nanny back, let's do some old North Star stuff right now. Let's make this happen with Lou Nanny.
And I guess, myself personally, for the off season here, I think that there's, you know, going to be some restructuring. I don't know that Fletcher will, you know, be completely gone. I think he's done some good things around here. Brought us some good talent.
He's drafted all right. Yeah. I mean, compared to his predecessor, he's done okay. Yeah.
When he also traded away quite a few of our
when he hasn't traded them away, right?
Our good drafts. I mean, that's the issue.
Yeah.
And but how many first rounds are we sitting at right now?
Not many.
Yeah.
Well, and that said, though, I think that there will be some moving and shaking within the organization. So what role Chuck Fletcher might be here in, I don't know. But I think that there's definitely, I mean, honestly, you got Torchetti, he's, you know, currently the interim coach, right? Yep. So there's nothing set in stone there, and you're going to have to kind of build a new image for, you know, your structure and your team, like the front office. Yep. And so I definitely don't put it out that he might lose his job or he might be, you know, repositioned somewhere else within the organization.
All right. If you take a head coach, free or not, who would you like to see as the Wild head coach? Pick a name.
I don't know. I think we'll answer that in the Twitter questions, though.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So, I mean, beyond that, there was, you know, definitely something that was, I feel that there was something probably that was plaguing the Wild locker room this year. Something going on behind the scenes that...
Mumps?
You know, no, it wasn't the mumps this year. Because this year it seems like there was just something that the team couldn't gel and play as a team together all the time and consistently.
They shared the herb.
So, I mean, what kind of changes do you expect to see in the lineup for the Wild next season?
I don't know. I there's got to be some changes. I know we retweeted. I don't remember who it was, so I apologize. But I remember retweeting that we retweeted someone saying, I don't really care who gets hurt at this point because this team is broken. And it's tough to argue with. I guess I would prefer that we traded someone higher pay so we get a little more flexibility.
Open up the cap space.
To open it up a little bit because we need some movement. We need some wait. You know, we have nothing to go on right now.
We have a lot of high-end players or high-paid players, I should say,
yep,
that have no trade clauses, which I think is hurting right now.
And that's Chuck Fletcher, though. On top of that, though, we've got him tied up for long periods of time, and these are guys that haven't really done much.
We haven't seen numbers that they should be putting up.
No, we haven't.
They haven't proven to be that big of game changers.
No, they're
like pillars to build your team around.
No,
And
the ones that we have built the pillars around, they're probably not pillars, actually.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, there's obviously got to be, some things that are going to be changed in there. And I think it kind of goes back to our previous talk about, how the front office is going to line up, throughout the off season and into next year. What kind of a coach are we actually going to have here next year? Is Torchetti going to, stay on with us, or are we going to bring in a completely different style of coach that, maybe is more of a player's coach and not necessarily your X's and O's guy who expects you to play in his system? There's things like that will factor into that. But I think that we do have some good young talent around here. I know that it's been hard to harness all that in and get it to show up consistently night to night. But I think that, with a few off-season changes in maybe some of the upper, like the front two lines, whether it's, making a trade or, for something, somebody similarly paid, where we can swap contracts, sure, basically, and, maybe just some fresh blood in here, somebody that might gel better with the team,
I hear what you're saying. And, with Torchetti, saying coming up with, some of the younger blood gelling. That was very similar to when Yo came up, because Yo came up from, Houston at that point,
mm-hmm,
or Iowa, or right on the verge of the
Houston
change.
He's Houston, yeah.
And you had a lot of the young players that came up with him that knew his system, and everything was, looking peaches and cream, and, everything was going good. And then all of a sudden you get into some of the veteran players, and then some of the younger players come up underneath Torch that aren't playing necessarily Yo's system. And, he's kind of pushed them off to the side. And we're not seeing much happen. And then all of a sudden Torch comes up, and it's like all of a sudden the younger guys start excelling a little bit more. So, I mean, do we need to just keep pulling up the baby Wild coach to do something to make all these guys make shit happen?
Well, that's a great question, and actually leads us to Twitter talk. We've got a bunch of questions from folks. And first one, it comes from Mitch Campion. That's at MJ Campion 34. If you're a GM, who do you hire as coach, and who are three players you look to acquire, hypothetically?
Honestly, I think keeping Torch might be okay.
Okay.
As far as acquiring, hypothetically, I think the Wild's done okay. I mean, they've acquired some very good NCAA talent right now. And I would say just go with that, bring them up through the system, and, you know, let's keep the youngness happening, not necessarily go with the old regime.
Jav, what are you thinking?
Basically, I don't know. I'm thinking that we might need to find a coach that basically has maybe a little more experience.
Anything like Ken Hitchcock?
No.
I would like Ken Hitchcock as a coach.
I would
not. I mean, it's going to depend on how the Blues do, obviously, but...
Yeah. We've seen a history there. That's not the team I want to be.
When's the last time he won a championship?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I would love Ken Hitchcock as a coach.
But it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
He's got Ken and Cock in his name.
And Hitch.
And
don't
Hitch.
Don't forget Hitch.
No, I think that we need to bring in somebody with some experience. We've had a lot of new coaches. We had Richards before that. And was there... Is that it?
Yeah.
Besides Lemaire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we've done the two tryouts of the newer, you know, coaches new to the NHL. I think that we need to, you know... move forward and
what about Lindy
get
Ruff?
Somebody with some experience. I don't know. Is he available?
Well, next question coming from Hawk at New Glarus Hawk. New question or new person asks us a question.
I like it.
Will Vanek be traded by the draft?
I'm gonna say yes. But not for as much as you think we'll get him for.
I honestly, I don't know. I mean, going hurt into the playoffs and not coming back in, I don't know any teams that would want to pick him up.
I think he'll get traded, but it'll be like a third or fourth round. It's not going to be something that's worth writing home about. You know?
Yeah, they might choose to dish him off like that because, especially since you said he's leaving the season hurt here. I think that
he's getting paid a lot too.
Yeah, that might take out even our ability to just buy out the contract too.
Right.
I believe as well.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough. Yeah.
So will they make a move with him? I don't know. I think that this last year Vanek wasn't
he started off strong.
And I think that throughout the season he had his contributing points. The team itself was just so streaky and up and down. It's hard to, you know. Yes, I know you can try to pinpoint out players, like somebody's not doing this, somebody's right, not right. doing that. But at the end of the day, it is a complete team effort. And,
well,
you know, all cylinders aren't going, that's, you know. So I don't know that he will be moved by the draft.
You know, how about him, Halla, and Palmaville on a line? I think that might have increases odds.
Yeah, maybe.
Judd.
So yeah, our next Twitter question comes in from Nostra Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. Oh, sorry, I pronounced that wrong. At State of Hockey News. Hockey News. Hockaloogie.
But it is State of Hockey News.com.
Yes. So if you had to create a meme for the Minnesota Wild's 2015-2016 season, what would it be?
Well, I wouldn't have to create one because one already exists. It's a picture of a dog, like a golden lab, in front of beakers and the science equipment going, I have no idea what I'm doing. I think that is fair.
That's really close. I was actually going to go for the whole waste management, you know, dumpster fire happening. But you
dumpster know, fire meme. Okay, I haven't heard of that one, but I approve of that.
They kind of came across, and I mean, you know, it was from time to time, like, you know, 2/3 of the season, dumpster fire seemed like the right thing.
And mine, I guess, would be maybe of a clown juggling balls. Because, you know, basically, you know, at this point, the team is kind of like a juggling act.
Up in the air.
Yes. So.
Next question, Teresa Ferris, at MNSoda24. What are your plans for the off season? What should I do during the off season? No licorice involved, please.
I'll start this one off. I will be actually working with a lot of bands and music this off season. I'm hoping that the three of us can finally get our act together and get another podcast going for it. not hockey or Wild centric, but we'll see what happens.
He'll probably dabble in hockey.
More than likely. Yeah. Somehow hockey will get involved because, yep. I mean, that's just who we are.
How the blue line's made.
As far as what she should do during the off season,
drink Sambuca.
About no licorice involved.
It's black jelly beans. It's different.
You know, we need a gateway drug for her, so I think Sambuca would be the pinnacle of it. You know, take baby sips.
Rumplemints. I will allow Rumplemints.
Yes. Okay. You know what, Aaron? That should be yours, but I'm gonna take that and say, hey, drink Rumplemints. So let's go with Jive on this one. Jive, what do you think? What are you doing during the summer, and what should Teresa do?
Well, what we should all do, being from the north up here, is just get outdoors and enjoy the warm weather for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Before we're stuck inside and can't see the sun and, you know.
And just watch hockey.
Right. It's only a few months away till we're stuck inside again and chilly and cold. So go out there, camp, fish, do what you got to do. But enjoy
100%.
Enjoy the great outdoors from the great north up here.
And you know what I'll be doing? I'll be playing pinball. And Teresa, you should play pinball too.
Nice.
Enough said.
All right, so from State of Hockey, Mini Puck 2027, did we see the last of either Zucker, Dumba, or Scandella in Minnesota?
Okay, Zucker, yes. Dumba, no. Scandella, no.
You think Zucker's gone?
I think Zucker's gone.
I honestly, as much as I like him, he's got some speed. His hands are not there. I think he's definitely trade bait. Dumba, well, Dumba definitely watered down his pay range with the last few games of the playoffs.
Last month and a half, more like, but
yeah. Scandella, no, I think Scandella is going to stick around.
Jeff, what are you thinking?
I have to agree, partially on the Zucker, piece of things there. You know, depending on what it would cost to keep him, I think that, you know, he's a serviceable forward. So, but, you know, who knows what we might be able to get in trade for him. Dumba, though, I think that he's a project for the Wild, and I think that there's upside to him, and he'll be around for some time to come. And Scandella, he had a rough year. I will just say that. He had his high moments and he had his low moments right along with the rest of the team.
Yeah, right.
You know, he had some other stuff outside of hockey even going on this year, I know, too, that, you know, might have had some sort of an effect on him, too. So, but I think that, as far as a defensive core, I think we've got a lot going on there, a lot to build on that we can work with, I think. So I think Dumba and Scandella will definitely be around.
Well, I've got one final thought on this. Zucker is probably definitely gone because it doesn't matter.
Probably definitely? Okay.
Probably definitely. Every time I've gotten a player's sweater, they've been gone the next year.
So Zucker's dead.
Rolston, Clutterbuck, and now Zucker. And I'm pretty sure that just because of that, Zucker is going to be gone next year.
We blame Kenny.
You can. By all means, blame me for having Zucker being gone.
So there you have it. Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at, well, apparently a friend of mine told me it was all screwed up, but you can still check out about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y. I'll have to double check, but it should have links to my Twitter and Instagram accounts and stuff like that. You know, see me post pics of shows and random Twitter thoughts, maybe some cooking stuff.
All right. Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can check me out. I'm on about.me/heyjive.
As for myself, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It's going to be, I don't know when we're going to do the next show. I mean,
we'll have something coming up in the off season.
Yeah, we'll have a couple shows during the off season.
I'm probably guessing sometime before the Stanley Cup final, we'll probably have something talking about some games.
We'll work something in here, and, you know, it's going to be, we're going into off season time here, and we'll figure something out.
We don't golf. Well, Jive golfs.
We don't golf. We just drink, and, if there's wild news, we'll probably try to form a show around that.
Yeah, we'll be around.
You know, we'll probably do an after the free agency period or after the draft. I'm about to
cry again, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. So, again, you can listen to our podcast on our website at 3inthebox.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox.
For sure, we'll find you guys in September.
Yeah, so I think that's it for this season's episodes.
That wraps up the season.
We're done.
I'll see you guys.
Oh, man. I'm going to cry. Purple rain.
Wireless.